Public comment. All public comment. I guess I have to start over now. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of the Recreation and Parks Commission. Today is March 6, 2025. This board meeting will be conducted in person. All public comment will be taken in person only, and each speaker will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. Our first order of business is call for the roll. Takesha, will you please take the roll?
Will do, Madam President. President Semerol.
Present.
Vice President Sanchez.
Present.
Commissioner Tran.
Present.
And we have quorum, Madam President.
Thank you. Our next order of business is approval of the minutes from the February 20th, 2025 meeting. May I have a motion?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Second.
Takesha, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from February 20th, 2025. Can you call for the vote?
Will do, Madam President. We have a motion and a second to approve the regular minutes from February 20, 2025. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Semerol, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carried.
Thank you. Before we hear from our general manager, Jimmy Kim's update, I'd like to welcome to the podium our very own Councilmember John Lee from Council District 12. Thank you so much for joining us. It's an honor.
There we go. Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, commissioners. Good morning, Rec and Park staff. And most importantly, good morning to the residents of Council District 12. I just want to say thank you so much for having this meeting here. Rec and Parks is something that is so important to this community, and especially to me as someone who was raised in this community. I've now lived in this community since 1978. So these are the parks that I grew up in. These are the parks that shaped me as a young man and to grow up into the councilman that I am today. I learned so many different lessons playing at these parks, and I still am fortunate to see some of the people that I grew up with in these parks still involved in the park system, except as parents, as volunteers. And I can't tell you just how much this community really revolves around the sports and the youth activities that these parks represent. Parks is something that I believe has always been the core services of the city of Los Angeles. When you think about when people pay taxes to the city of Los Angeles, what do they expect for their tax money? And I promise you, the services provided by Rec and Parks is definitely one of those things, and one of those things that as a council member, when we come to budget season, is something that I always try to pay special attention to, and because I really believe in the mission of the Rec and Parks department. I'd love to tell you about some of the different things that we are working on in this community, and hope that if there's ever a future opportunity, would love to take you on a tour because we have so many exciting things that are happening. So let me just go over a few of them. I took some notes here. In Chatsworth, obviously, we have an incredible equestrian community, something that has really been the shape of that community, that neighborhood, that it's been their identity ever since growing up here. And it's something that we have fought very, very hard to maintain. So right now, I know we have a RFP for a new Stony Point Park at Ranch, where we are going to be boarding horses, something that I'm very, very excited for, something that my community is excited for. In Porter Ranch, if you have not seen the newest addition to the Rec and Park system, the park up in Porter Ranch, the Bachman Park, for all of you, whether you live in this community or outside this community, I invite you to come see the, I know I'm biased, the prettiest park in the city of Los Angeles. It is one, truly one of those parks when you spin around 360 degrees, there is not a bad view. And it's something that we are very excited. We're all about bringing community together. And I know that that park is going to be the center hub of the Northwest San Fernando Valley. In Granada Hills, right here where we're standing, we have O'Melveny Park, the second largest park in the city system, which I don't think a lot of people know about. And it's a hidden gem. And what I always say about Council District 12, and one of the reasons why this is such an amazing district, in our parks, you can walk on trails and forget that you're actually in the city of Los Angeles. You can sort of lose yourself in our trails and our park systems. And we are very, very proud of that. And right here at this very park, looking forward to opening up a pool that hopefully And I'm looking at you, Jimmy. Hopefully this summer we are going to be opening up that. We are going to be opening up that pool, and we are very excited about providing that. It's a pool that has needed maintenance for a very, very long time, and I'm excited that we are reaching the finish line. In Northridge, I know we have some members here that are really, really interested in speaking to you about the Oak Ridge Estate House and Park. Recently, your general manager has visited the park and the estate that we have there. It is an old estate owned by Jack Oakey, and it is a treasure. It was going to be, the park was going to be developed into, I think, 26 homes, and Councilmember Smith many, many years ago fought to purchase that property to preserve it as open space and preserve it as an example of what Valley properties used to look like back in the day. And so it's an incredible opportunity for us because I think it can be a revenue generating property. It is something where I believe we will have not only movie shoots, but people requesting it for weddings or special occasions. And I'm really excited about that coming together. In West Hills, we have Orchid Ranch, our annual citrus pick and rose garden. Let's see. Some of the things that I want to talk to this board about is we are working on, I don't know if this board is aware, but pickleball has become pretty big. So I don't know if that's come on your radar. It is probably one of the biggest requests that we get when it comes to new programs in our district. And we are very excited about working on some new courts. We have a proposal that will be going before you very, very soon about new parks that we have found the funding for, but would love to put in Northridge Park, unless Jimmy finds the funding for us before that. Jimmy, you're always willing to spend your money before we spend our money. Let's see, what else? We have a lot of different government agencies that we partner with, like the state and federal government. We have the North Hills VA. We have Santa Susana Mountains, something that is, again, just adds to the incredible character. I tell you, when you get off at Topanga Boulevard and you drive down, you see Stony Point, there is no freeway exit prettier in the city of Los Angeles than the ones that we have here in Council District 12. Of that, I just want to say thank you again for being here. Reckon Parks, like I said in the very beginning of my statement, is so incredibly important to this community and to myself. And I appreciate all the hard work that you all do every single week, every single day, every single month to ensure that our kids have the best and what they need to become the incredible adults in the future. So thank you so much. Thank you for the residents of CD12 that care enough about their community to show up to a meeting like this. And of course, we are always happy when you come in the future. We promise we will always have portals for you at that time as well.
Councilmember Lee, thank you so much for taking the time to lift up the essential service that park systems provide to the residents of Los Angeles. Thank you for your commitment to CD12 in highlighting the beautiful park assets you have. And thank you also for being an advocate for us on city council with regard to our budget. We know it's going to be an incredibly challenging budget year with the recovery from the fires and lost revenue. But you highlighting and being an advocate on city council to make sure we have the resources to be the service to the city residents is greatly appreciated. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
And with that, a round of applause for the council. And with that, we'll move on to the general manager's update.
Good morning, President Cimarron, staff, the public here and the public listening on Zoom. I did want to mention, and I wanted to thank Councilmember Lee for being here today, and also your support for our Salute to Recreation Family Festival that's going to be occurring at Northridge Park May 16th to the 18th. It's not only just for those living in the San Fernando Valley, but for the entire city to come and kind of recognize the amazing work that Recreation and Parks does, and just it's just an amazing event. So thank you for your support for that event. It's always something we always look forward to on an annual basis, and it happens here in your district. So thank you for that. Okay, so I wanted to first start off with highlights from the department. I wanted everybody to know that we continue to post all of our special events on laparks.org under special events. Please be sure to check out that website to find an event near you. I will now go into our general manager updates. I'm going to quickly start off with some of the emergency operations that occurred within the last 24 hours. Yesterday, the city's emergency management department activated the city's EOC in preparation and through last night. That activation was slated to go a little bit longer, but because of the change of forecast, they deactivated yesterday. Rec and Parks staffed the Mass Care branch yesterday for one of the shifts, just to make sure that we are prepared for any types of evacuations that may have came through. So I wanted to make a note of that here today. What I would like to do is I would like to have our executive officer give us a brief high-level update on the status of our budget as we go into the budget cycle, and then I'll continue on my update. So Matthew Rudnick, Executive Officer.
Good morning, commissioners, members of the public, staff. You alluded to it, Board President Simrell. It's looking like a very challenging budget cycle ahead of us. Just yesterday, the City Council Budget and Finance Committee went through their third financial status report update on the current year budget and reported a significant projected deficit, not only this year, but moving into next year. 2 weeks ago, we had our first kind of check-in meeting with the mayor's office and the CAO on the draft budget for Rec and Parks. If you recall, last year, the city council was able to restore a good number of positions, vacant positions that had been slated for elimination, about 100 positions. Of those positions, it's looking like around 50 are back on the table for potential elimination. Some of those positions were approved to be filled and were in the hiring process. So we are doing due diligence to make sure we provide information to the mayor's office and the CAO and others on the status of those, because we really want to make sure those positions that are filled remain funded and authorized in next year's budget. But we'll be providing ongoing updates to the board as the budget process proceeds, and any advocacy you can do on our behalf as things move forward, we greatly appreciate it.
Can you remind us what those positions are covering? I recall a significant number of those positions were with regard to Play LA. And as the Olympics are getting closer, I would imagine that those are critical positions.
Absolutely. So yeah, the positions that had been restored kind of holistically, about, like I said, about 108 positions. They did run the gamut from positions in citywide maintenance, in construction, and then in recreation. There are recreation positions that are tied to or associated with our Play LA program, a few positions for adaptive sports that we really obviously want to ensure remain and continue. But there are also really critical public safety positions. There's a handful of park ranger positions. And as you know, it takes quite a bit of time to move a park ranger through the hiring process. They go through LAPD background. So even when we get authorization to fill, it takes a good, you know, number of months to fill those positions, and we're in process of doing that. So again, the positions run across the whole department, but these are some of the most critical vacancies we have that we want to retain.
Thank you, Matt. Again, Jimmy Kim, General Manager, Recreation and Parks. Now I wanted to give you a brief update on our senior center operations. Currently, we have 29 senior centers that are overseen by Deanne Detman, Superintendent of the Pacific Region, Elaine Pia, who oversees, who's a principal recreation supervisor, and Ramon Bernal, who oversees the actual senior section. I'm happy to announce that we've had a 38% increase in our adult 50 plus registration, which is a compared to 2004. So just by way of background, as of the end of February, we had 2,807 seniors registered. At the same time in 2024, we had 2,334. And at the same time in 2023, we had 1,455. So we've been seeing a steady increase in our registration. So it's going in the right direction. Staff continues to recruit and hire staff so we could expand the program offering. We work very closely with the Department of Aging so that we can utilize their resources to provide additional services to those attending our senior centers. In addition to that, we changed kind of our model where in the past it was we had a club membership that covered all 29 centers, but now each individual senior center operates as its own club so that we're providing programs that the participants would like to take rather than kind of an overarching program. So that's been very successful. So I just wanted to recognize our the staff that's here. I think it's only Deanne today that kind of oversees that program for the great work you guys are doing with our seniors. So thank you very much. I also wanted to give an update on the Arroyo Playground that was I just wanted to mention that project is under the Trust for Public Lands. Our planning division worked closely with TPL to make sure that the concerns of the community were incorporated into the design. We don't have a timeline in terms of when the project will be completed, but we'll come back at the next meeting to provide an update on that.
So that was the El Sereno Playground?
That is the, yes, the El Sereno Playground.
So has TPL met with the community to address their concerns, or they're planning to?
They're planning to meet with them so that they could discuss, I believe it's specifically for the restrooms.
Okay, yes. Right, thank you.
Yeah. For the Ascot Hills, staff has met on site with the constituents and are addressing concerns that they have. So as we work through the staff has indicated that they're happy with some of the results of the meeting. So we'll come back at a future date as well to give a updated timeline on that, or rather an update on those discussions that were had on site. I also wanted to give an update on the Griffith Park traffic plan and Crystal Springs Drive project. Our staff just completed the final review for the finalization of the task order solicitation. And we are projecting on issuing the TOS at the end of the month so that the project gets started. And finally, I would like to bring up Patrick Siggins from CD4 to provide an update on the Riverside ABH program.
Before we do that, one of the other report back, Jimmy, was the, I think, Matthew, this was on you, the expedited architecture review for Rancho. Do we have any update on that?
Yeah, so similarly, Matthew Rudnick, executive officer, we're also working on a finalization of a task order solicitation for one of our on-call consulting ventures to bring on the architect and proceed with the Rancho project. We had a very productive meeting with the Rancho Clubhouse stakeholder group earlier this week. So things are moving forward on that project, and we'll be providing the task force with further updates later this month.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Patrick Siggins, Director of Homelessness Services for the Office of Nithya Raman, Council District 4. I'm here to report back on our two-month reporting requirement for ABH Riverside Ambassador Program. As last discussed in my December attendance, our office has contracted with the nonprofit community-based volunteer organization CELA to stand up the Ambassador Program. Ambassador Program is operating at ABH Riverside in tandem with around-the-clock outreach, utilizing teams from LASA, Ascensia, The Circle, and various street medicine teams. Gracious enough to join me today, Sarah Reyes, Executive Director of CELA, overseeing our ABH Riverside Ambassador Program. We've asked Sarah to join us today to give a brief overview of the program and its activities to lend some context to the board of all the great work that is being done in and around ABH Riverside. Sarah?
Thank you. Oh, I'm shorter than Patrick. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be out here. The ambassador program, let me first introduce myself. My name is Sarah Reyes. I'm the executive director of SELA Neighborhood Homeless Coalition. I'm actually the first permanent executive director, but I started as a volunteer with the organization in 2019 and helped all through lockdown, distributing masks and helping people get connected with vaccinations. So SELA is near and dear to my heart beyond just being a job. The ambassador program started, well, so the work that we do in this particular area has existed for about 7 years in some version or another. It was started by neighbors like myself, housed neighbors who wanted to connect with our unhoused neighbors and provide coffee and community and connection and just be a neighborhood together. So that's how this program started. When Patrick shared about the ambassador program and the intention of wanting to extend that level of connection really strategically to a bridge home, which is people who are in transitional housing, we were very excited because we already had a relationship with a lot of the people who are in that facility, whether we knew them before they were in the facility or just through connecting with them since they've got into the facility. The ambassador program, again, it mirrors so well the work that we do already, because we know that housing and your path to housing is significantly improved through community. There's technical intervention, like making sure people have access to the right tools and case managers and all the things that we can provide through city and government funding. But then there's all of the adaptive components to the path to housing, and that applies to anything, any sort of social service. So we are just really excited to sit in that adaptive space. Where we are this year in our work with the ambassador program specifically is twice a week, we're running shuttles to and from our nearby offsite programming with targeted support that includes things like food, clothing, community, mail services, Metro Life program, pet care, bike repair, haircuts, job connection, and all sorts of other services. Again, all of this is being provided by a very committed group of volunteers. And this particular program that I'm describing is operating, that we're running shuttles to, operates out of Silver Lake Community Church, which is our site partner for that. Also happening, in addition to the twice weekly shuttles, we're running 2 to 3 weekly on-foot outreach programs in the area around a bridge home. So that means going out, again, this is a group of volunteers who are going out with food and water and hygiene supplies, and also most importantly, information and a will to connect. And they are going out and they are ensuring that anyone who is setting up is new to the area and is perhaps setting up an encampment in the area, that we're connecting with them first and making sure that they're actually connecting and diverting to existing services rather than setting up an encampment in that space and causing any sort of conflict in the neighborhood, but also just being sort of not in the best possible situation for themselves. So we're doing that two to three times a week. And then monthly, we run what we call our Sunday social program in the Mulholland, what's it called? The park? Fountain is the word I forgot. I remembered Mulholland. But the Mulholland Fountain Park, we run what we call a Sunday social program. And so that's where we have coffee, sandwiches made by Senator Portantino's wife. We also work with a group called Homie Made Meals that provides packaway lunches. We have bike repair, and we have, most importantly, document and mail services just right there, right next to a bridge home in that park. So we do a lot. That's a monthly program. So we do a lot, just to say that we have a consistent sort of every reliable connection and touch point with people who are in a bridge home. So far, just this year, we've offered shuttles to 125 different shuttle. 125 people have taken advantage of the shuttle to and from our on-site program. That does not include that's just people who went to the off-site program. On-site, right there in our Sunday social, again, we've run two because there's two so far this month or this year, and we've had 55 people engage in that. So, which is, I think the population of a bridge home is 100. So pretty good rates of engagement. Anything else? Thanks.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for the commissioners? Oh, great. Thank you. Appreciate the update.
Thank you for your time.
Bye-bye.
And finally, I'm supposed to do this at the beginning of my report. I would like to bring up Tracy Goldberg, the Valley, to give an introduction of the facility.
You saved the best for last, Jimmy.
That's right. That's
right.
Saved
the best for last, Tracy. Thought you forgot me. Good morning, commissioners, RAP staff, of course, and members of the public.
We're really happy to have Councilmember Lee here. And I also wanted to introduce Marco Martinez to anyone who does not know her, because she really, I mean, she helps us so much. I can't even say with the salute, with the opening of Porto Ranch Park, with really just everything. So I wanted to make sure to point that out. But welcome to Granada Hills Rec Center. The original rec center here was built in 1963, and it was known as Pettit Park. Lots of people still refer to it that way. During the Northridge quake in January 94, the building was considerably damaged and torn down. The staff spent many years running recreation programs out of temporary trailers, and the current building was opened in July 2000. This is a 19-acre park featuring an indoor basketball gym, which we're all sitting in, four baseball diamonds, outdoor basketball courts, children's playgrounds, picnic tables, tennis courts, pickleball courts, classrooms, pool, and a dance room. The large eucalyptus trees on the north side of the park were planted in 1933 as a windbreak for the original citrus groves of the Sunshine Ranch. They are also one of the most distinctive features of the entire area and the park. So you'll see them all over Granada Hills as you're driving around. The new pool is under construction and slated to include a new splash pad, spectator bleachers, a new pump building, and a shallow, deep, shallow design, which gives us more opportunities for programming. The pool should be open, should, cross our fingers, be open for this summer. As the council member mentioned, we also in the area have O'Melveny Park, second largest park in Los Angeles. I should cross off things that he mentioned. That is a 672-acre park, including hiking trails, fire roads, and Mission Point, which gives a striking view of the northeast portion of the San Fernando Valley and beyond. And I'm told on a very clear day, you can see the Pacific Ocean and downtown LA. It's also home to lots of wildlife, deer, golden eagles, bobcats, mountain lions, raccoons, coyotes, all of them. The annual Granada Hills Holiday Parade always begins right here in the park, and we have a staging area always in the parking lot for all the equestrian units that participate. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Granada Hills was one of the first emergency shelters and remained open from March through September of 2020, serving hundreds of unhoused individuals. And I point this out partially to see that it's March 2020, like the very, very, very beginning of COVID, when everyone was scared. We didn't really know yet what was, you know, what was true or not true about all of it. And the staff really came out in force and worked it, even though they were scared to and scared to take it home to their own families. That includes the director here, who I will introduce, and her husband, who also works for the department. And I just think it goes without saying that it's amazing that they were able to do that work. And for so many months, we're literally housing unhoused individuals in a crazy COVID world. For programs and activities here, they have lots of classes, early learning programs, and after school club music classes like guitar, piano, and drums. Dance classes include hip hop and ballet. Cultural classes include sewing, chess, wide world of science, and martial arts. Sports clinics include tennis, basketball, and volleyball. This is also a huge sports park, as you can see by some of the banners. And they host tons of Play LA and GPLA sports leagues, winter and summer basketball, fall flag football, spring soccer, spring t-ball, softball, and baseball, and spring and fall volleyball. They host special events such as the winter holiday show, spring egg hunt, of course, a Halloween festival, and a carnival each spring. They offer day camps, regular summer day camp, plus a sports camp. And then they have winter, fall, and spring day camp when kids are on school breaks. And I wanted to share real quick a special program that just got added for here just yesterday. But RAP has many missions at parks throughout the city with Agents of Discovery, which is an augmented reality mobile game to play and discover the world around you. It consists of missions that contain educational fun challenges that players solve as they play. One of our staff, which I'll also introduce later, made a special St. Patrick's Day themed mission and made it available right here outside where the playground is. So if you'd like to participate, we encourage you to do that. To play, just download the free app. Again, it's Agents of Discovery, and explore all the missions. You can find the mission locations at laparks.org/AOD. For staffing, I'm Tracy Goldberg, superintendent of the Valley Region. We have Juan Anot, principal rec supervisor two, Kim Weldon, who made the Agents of Discovery program, our acting principal rec supervisor one. We have Richard Kravitz, our Mid-Valley district supervisor. Michelle Gross de la Hoya is our senior recreation director there at the back. We have JP Abasia is our recreation coordinator here. He's also there with Michelle. We'd also like to announce our maintenance staff. We have Alex Lomelli, the gardener caretaker, Daryl Mathis, park maintenance supervisor, Brian Yamasaki, senior park maintenance supervisor, and Wayne Neal, principal grounds maintenance supervisor too. And we have a couple special guests today that we don't normally have at all of our meetings. We have Scott Bachman, who is our Valley Region C&M supervisor, and Kevin Reagan, our citywide construction superintendent. I think I got everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thank you, Tracy. And I did want to mention before I close out my GM update, the swimming pool that should be opening hopefully by the summer is also slated to be year-round. So we will have, we'll be adding a year-round facility to our current 21 facilities that are year-round. This addition will be 22. So we're really excited about that to serve this community with a year-round swimming pool. So that concludes my report. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. With that, we'll now move on to general public comment. Takesha, will you please conduct general public comment?
Will do, Madam President. I will call the first three constituents to come up to the podium to make a public comment. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you have further comments, you may send them to our RAP inbox at rap.commissioners@lacity.org. Mark Lambert. Patricia Lapresti. And Cameron Flanagan.
Good morning, commission members, Rec and Parks. Staff, et cetera. My name is Mark Lambert. Let me introduce myself. I'm currently the regional commissioner of AYSO 33 in Encino. We have 600 players and families, including 100 players with special needs, which I believe is the largest group in the Valley. I've been in charge of this for 3 years. I am a retired city attorney of 31 and a half years, the last 20 years in the consumer protection section. So I'm very invested in the city of LA. Thank you for holding this meeting here in the Valley. Three quick things. One, I want to thank Jimmy Kim and Rec and Parks for getting the bathroom completed at our soccer fields at Balboa Park where our team plays. So that's a fine achievement. Thank you. Secondly, I just want to let you know that at Balboa Park, we had a board meeting last night. Parents were telling me it is a giant mess when they have practices, broken bottles, there's used condoms, there's people drinking, smoking. I realize that's a matter that's bigger than just Rec and Parks. It's a matter of enforcement and our laws. I just wanted to bring it to your attention that it's bad enough that I am constantly asked by parents, what can we do? And I tell them, well, it's the Rangers that patrol it. There's laws, but I just want to let you know. The other thing that I wanted to address, and I'd love to talk to Councilmember Lee, and to the commissioners afterward, if possible, but I've become aware, and I'm speaking but on myself, on behalf of myself right now, not AYSO, that there is a law, AB 1467, the Nevada Youth Sports Safety Act, which was passed, in 2023, takes effect in 2027. It is going to require an AED, a defibrillator, to be accessible at every youth sport, game, and practice. There are no qualifications, no exceptions. It is obviously very important that we take care of our players and awful events that could happen with cardiac arrest. I'm not being callous about this. But the fact is, this law, is going to have a chilling effect on youth sports. It applies to Rec and Parks. And I'd love to talk to you afterwards, if possible, just to let you know that this
thank
is something.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Can you just give us that? Can you give us that assembly bill again? The number.
Thank you. It's AB 1467, the Nevea NEVAEH Youth Sports Safety Act.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Patricia Lopresti.
Lopresti, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Commissioners, Rec and Park staff, thank you for coming to Granada Hills in the North Valley. And I've stood before this group before. I'm a 38-year resident of Northridge. We raised our children here. We participated in park programs here and at Northridge Park for 35 years. My husband still referees AYSO at this park on the weekends. I'm here to ask two questions about the historic Oak Ridge Estate Park, which Councilmember Lee addressed earlier. I appreciate his comments. I'm a public supporter of that park. I'm interested in it. I participated through the development design of the park itself, but the historic property is a treasure. I was on the first park advisory board in 2010, 11, and 12. So I've continued to be a supporter, but I have two questions about the status of the property, the residence and the park. When do you anticipate RFPs being issued for the approved treatment plan for the residence, the exterior of the residence? That's question number one. And when do you anticipate LVNOC will be set up for the approved Prop K funds for the park? Both of those projects have been funded, and the community is very interested in seeing the house rehabilitated, the grounds usable, lighting at the park, sunshades at the park, and it's of interest to the community. And you do great work. Where are we on the list? Thank you very much. Can anybody address that or? I'm just asking for the status of those two projects.
If you can just leave with Takesha with your email address, we'll get you that answer. I don't think we have it at the ready.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much for coming. Enjoy your day.
Thank you for your time.
Good morning, commissioners. Trying to adjust the microphone. So yesterday at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club at Friendship Auditorium, Council Member Rahman appeared before a group of 250 people roughly and talked about how she wanted to bring the South Griffith Park Master Plan live. So I'm curious to know, what is the status on the South Griffith Park Master Plan? And if you could please agendize that for an upcoming commission meeting, that would really help to inform the public about where we are with respect to that, because no specifics were given at the LA Breakfast Club. Also, you have heard from hundreds of people over the past 2 years about the safety outside of the shelter. I also have information relative to the unsafe conditions within the shelter and people assisting the homeless. That is, the operator of that shelter is frankly not doing they're doing their best. It's a very difficult situation, but I'm not going to make excuses for them. All the way around, the shelter was, from the very beginning, misplaced on parkland, Griffith Parkland. Griffith Park is the crown jewel of Los Angeles, and we love that area, and we're going to do a lot of things. So right now, there's a committee that has been formed to restore the Mulholland Fountain and to work with DWP on that. So in terms of actually decommissioning the shelter, I would urge you, at this point, people are tired of writing letters and they want to know, when is the shelter going to be decommissioned? I realize that Council Member Rahman has deflected to the mayor on it multiple times, but it is within her purview. And I would urge you to have her come before the commission and to let you know what her plans are for the shelter, the people inside the shelter, the broader community, and the businesses around that area deserve to know. Also, you heard from the CELA organization, which is a great outreach organization for coffee, socks, toiletries, donuts, and the like, and friendship.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
I'll put the rest of it in writing. Thank you.
I'm going to bring up the next three. Jonathan Talbert, Kathy Schreiner, and Barbara Nickin.
Um, Hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Talbert. I'm a parent of a child in the Department of Parks and Rec preschool program. My daughter, her name is Tessa. She's 4 years old, and she attends the Downey Child Care Center in Lincoln Heights. She's been there for about a year now. We decided that we needed to put her in preschool originally because we realized she was afraid of other children. Our little COVID baby was born in the summer of 2020. And during those formative years, you know, what were the playground rules? You know, when two little toddlers would toddle up to one another, parents would separate them. So, you know, she learned, hey, we should stay away from other children. Well, we felt it was important to put her in preschool. So we found Downey and we brought her there to socialize, and she just flourished. She wakes up every day excited to go to school, excited to see her friends. She's disappointed every time there's a city holiday and she can't attend school. Also, her education has just exploded. You know, at 4 years old, she can do simple math. She can read simple words. She's ready to move on to kindergarten, and she's ready to start, you know, a career in lifelong learning. The Department of Parks and Rec preschool program has made such a difference in our lives, and I want to say thank you for that. Thank you for running the program. Thank you for providing these services to us and to all families. And as a parent, I want to say thank you for providing childcare services as well. The uncomfortable truth is that, you know, while I love my kids and want to be with them 24/7, I can't work to support them without that extra assistance through childcare. I'm here today representing the other parents at the Downey Preschool because we've learned that the proposed budget for the fiscal year 2025-26 proposes significant cuts to the child care program. It would be a huge effect to us if it were to go away. It looks like 10 schools will be reduced down to 4. This is after we've already spent over $10 million renovating the preschool facilities.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please make sure you submit that to the inbox to Rec and Parks, the balance of your comments, please.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good morning, Commission and staff of the Rec and Parks. I really appreciate you coming out to the Valley. I think my name is Kathy Schreiner, sorry. I'm president of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council, speaking primarily for myself. And I'm always happy to see you come to the Valley. And I think you see me come and talk about things we're concerned about. I want to admit to park envy here. You know, in Van Nuys, we have 100,000 people and 2 small rec centers and no pool. So this is really a wonderful facility. And that leads into the park needs assessment, which is extremely important to us. I came to you in December urging a major role for neighborhood councils in the assessment. We've been given a tiny part. We were invited to a virtual meeting in the middle of the day, February, I think, 27th, when most neighborhood council people work because we're just volunteers in the community. I saw there's one workshop planned for May for the 99 neighborhood councils. I'm not sure that that's really sufficient outreach, but we are aware of it and we're going to participate for sure. I want to also just say that artificial turf is something our neighborhood council and many others took a position on. We want the city to move away from that into natural fields. I know there's a report being prepared by Rec and Parks. We really look forward to seeing that. I hope it will be, you know, shared with us, the public. I also want to talk about the fact that we haven't heard a report in quite a while on community park schools. And I know the president of the commission has that something that she's concerned about as well. We in the Valley, this would be one of the only ways in Van Nuys that we could add any kind of park space because we're pretty built out. And I also want to just mention I had come some months ago about Rec and Parks providing more signage for streets in the Sepulveda Basin because that's really helpful for the public to really know how to navigate around there. And so maybe if you could ask for a report back on that and how that's doing, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Barbara Nitkin, and I thank you for holding this meeting here. I'm part of the Northridge East Neighborhood Council, and my focus for years has been on Dearborn Park. I actually helped design it, I want to say 48 years ago, but maybe it's 49. Dearborn is better. I thank you for that. We have less bounce houses, and people, the rangers are making an effort to make it better and to keep the noise down. So the neighborhood people are are happier, but it takes constant vigilance. We would love to see you put us on the list for shades at Dearborn Park because it gets really hot there. And as a senior citizen, I'm now 74. I like to sit in the shade. It makes a difference to me on my balance. I'd like to see some improvement, a little more effort at Northridge Park. And I want to thank you for expanding the effort to make the Salute to Recreation something that I think we'll be proud of in Northridge. We need to see more parks. I took urban planning as part of my poli-sci classes, and I know the effect of parks and green spaces on the public. So more parks. And I really encourage you to please expand the effort to include us on the Zoom meetings. It makes a difference. I'm embarrassed to tell you that I made a wrong turn getting here, and I probably live a mile and a half from here. I've had Girl Scout meetings here for my daughter. I don't have that for my granddaughters and my grandson, but I thank Councilman Lee for helping to get the slide fixed at Dearborn Park. He actually climbed up to see it. So my hat's off to him. Okay, but thank you. And this park here is spectacularly better. Can we get Northridge Park like that too, please? Thank you all.
Thank you for your time. Madam President, I do not have any further requests for general public comment.
Thank you to Keisha, and thank you for those who gave public comment today. We appreciate the acknowledgments and the thanks for the improvements, and just a shout out to the staff for responding to those in a quite timely manner. So thank you. Before we consider board reports, can we hear from members of the public who want to make comment, public comment on specific board items to Keisha?
Madam President, we did not receive any requests for board report public comment.
Okay, thank you. Hearing none. We'll go on to board reports. Just to make a note that board report 25028 is being continued for another meeting. So board report 25028 is being continued. And with that, I'd like to take the following items on consent with the approval of my commissioners. Item 25027. 05029, 030, 031, 032, 033, 034, 035, and 036. Do I have a motion to take these items on consent?
So moved.
Second. Do I have a second?
Second.
To Keisha, I have a motion and a second to take those items on consent. Could you call for the vote, please?
Will do, Madam President. We have a motion and a second to take the following board reports on consent. 25-027, 25-029, 25-030, 25-031, 25-032, 25-033, 25-034, 25-035, and 25-036. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimero, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carried.
Thank you. With that, we'll move on for neighborhood council comments.
Madam President, I didn't receive any such requests.
Thank you. Are there any task force updates?
To report.
Okay. Are there any comments from the commissioners on future agenda items or report backs? I have one. Jimmy, could we give a report back at a future meeting on the community school parks program? And I know we had spoken about the artificial turf report, but just an update on where we are with the artificial reports. And if we can also look into the shade structures at Dearborn Park. I know with the climate resilience and climate change, maybe a report back at a future meeting. It doesn't have to be the next meeting, but a report back in terms of what are some of the efforts we're taking with the climate and heat and shades at various parks. I think that was it. Anything else from the commissioners? Okay, hearing none, we are adjourned. The next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, March 20th, 2025, 9 a.m., and will be at Normandale Recreation Center at 22400 Halldale Avenue in Torrance, California, 90501. We're going to the South Bay for our next meeting. We'll see you all there.